Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, certified coach, and energy master, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and wellness in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to help you shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us. And I'm Dr. Joanne White, and it's always a pleasure to be here. Wherever you are, I hope you're all safe and cool enough and warm enough and ready for us to begin here. So many people have pets, and so many animals are so beautiful, and they can teach us many, many things. And it's so important to pay attention to what they teach us and to also pay attention to how we care for them and what we need to do to bring out the best in them health-wise and spirit-wise and love-wise, and also how we're interacting with them that makes a difference both in our lives and also in their lives as well. And I have a wonderful expert who's going to talk about animal teachings today, and I'm talking about Dr. Joanne Lefebvre Connolly, who is a veterinarian, an author, and a lover of art. And Dr. Joanne promotes intuitive medicine for living the best pet life. She guides families in tuning in with their pets, themselves, nature, as well as the universe, to make better medical decisions. Dr. Joanne is a vegan and inspires all animals and humans to live in balance as one with the web of life. She believes in treating the patient, not the disease, and strives to make this ideology a holistic staple view for pets. Her first book, Animal Teachings from Haley's Angel Methods, has powerful messages for both you and your pets. So let's listen in to Dr. Joanne. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's so good to be here, Dr. Joanne.
Dr. Joanne, yes, it is. We're going to have fun with that one, as you said earlier. And I love the ideas that are in your book, and I love what you teach. So let's talk a little bit about some of, firstly, you have a practice that works with animals, you're a veterinarian. What makes your practice, what you're doing with animals, so unique and so different?
Well, I listen to my heart. I listen to the animals. I try to really let them tell me how to be and how to be the best I can be. And all my life, starting when I was a child, I've always had 1,001 questions, and my mom tried to answer them the best she could. But ultimately, I've always felt like animals had the best answers for me one way or another. I felt like they had it more figured out. So obviously, going through vet schools, I've learned a lot of good teachings. But the school of life and the universe, nature, animals have really given me a lot of other pieces of the puzzle that I find so necessary, because it's a whole, it's one. Medicine is not just the body, is taking care of the soul, the emotional aspect of who we are. And I've experienced this myself, being sick and, well, what happened? I've always had this question growing up, why do we get sick? And so I broke my thumb skiing once, and I talk about it in the book, and I figured it all out. Why did that happen to me? Why do we have accidents? And so my whole life I've been wanting to figure out and looking at other people around me and then animals. When I started practicing, I right away noticed how animals would get sick, share the same physical illnesses as their people. And how fascinating is that, So I've always been so curious to put it all together, and I'm still today wanting more answers. But I started sharing quite a few that in the first book. There will be a book number two. But again, this is really where I'm at. You know, I'm looking at life as a whole, and why do things happen? How can we have so much power over what's happening? If we get sick, if we get better, if we don't get better, can we prevent illnesses in the first place? We're all going to die. Can we die with dignity? Why do some animals or people struggle at the end of life? So I want all questions answered. And so far, we're getting really close. You know, I feel like I painted a pretty good picture in the first book that touches from beginning to end.
Yes, you have. And I want to go back to something that you said, because it's true. I mean, I've seen it in people and their animals. Oftentimes, like you said, animals are getting the same kind of sickness or ailments or whatever that their owners have. And I have my own views as to why, but I'm wondering what you think about it, because I think sometimes we don't know what's going on in us as well as an animal does, and they are reflecting back to us sometimes what we need. But what's your take on it?
Absolutely. Our animals find us to help us get through life. I feel like, you know, a lot of them, there's no coincidence in how they show up in our life. And I always love asking people, how did you find this animal? And most people say, oh my God, I did not choose him. He chose me. He showed up, you know, I was not expecting it, or I was looking for a completely different animal. But when we all stay in our heart and are open-minded to what animal, like the law of attraction, you know, what animal shows up, and that's going to be the best companion to help us get through life. And so we go through the same stressful situations. Our animals, those often, that's their life purpose, you know, to help us. And so they're like little sponges. Their bodies will absorb the same energy, good or bad, that we are going through, because they're sharing that same space. And so, and we're connected on an energy level. So, yes, they do reflect a lot to us. They mirror what's happening. So not only we want to help animals get better, but by doing that, we help ourselves. You know, it all comes back to us. And so animals make us become better people. And so by helping them heal, well, how can we help them heal? By becoming more balanced ourselves. And going through our emotions and making sure we don't overreact, or, you know, that we speak up when we have to, and that we slow down, and the list goes on and on. But it's fascinating how animals are there, and we're part of a whole. And I've seen animals and their owners dying together also, you know, reaching the end of our life. So our life missions are very closely connected, and that's just beautiful.
You know, I totally agree. I used to, and my Selena, who was a beautiful Siamese, and she's passed, but I just want to say something funny. I used to do workshops, and I used to have a home office. I still do, but I would do workshops, and she would know exactly when it was time for them to leave. She would come downstairs. She like sort of saying, okay, everybody, it's time to leave. And when people would leave, she'd be standing right next to me, like saying kind of like, goodbye, get out of here, it's time for me and my mom, you know. But it was so funny that she would just be right there. And it's amazing what, like you said, what they teach us and the love that they give us. I mean, it's their love is so unconditional. I have a hard time figuring out how people can mistreat an animal. I mean, they just are there to give so much love, and yet, well, we won't go there, but to me, it just amazes me that people can mistreat an animal when they're just there to give love and appreciation, and can fill our hearts and our lives so beautifully. Now, you do a lot with animals and work intuitively. So you and I both are familiar with intuitive medicine, but how does that apply to working with animals and helping their owners understand what their animals are telling them and to really tune in?
So, you know, going from treating the disease and seeing the disease as a as an unfortunate label that's going to stick with us forever, you know, that seems to be more of the way medicine has been portraying it. Okay, this is what you have, or this is what your animal has, and that's it, you know. We're done. Like, then now all we have to do is treat the disease, and these are how, these are what we know might or might not work. Antibiotics, you know, pain medication, cancer treatment, you know, chemotherapy, this or that, surgery. So going from that and expanding to, well, let's put this in perspective and looking at the diagnosis as here's an opportunity to grow, and let's try first to figure out why it happens in the first place. And then looking at our animal also, but also ourselves, there is a lot of pieces to that puzzle, and I go in depth in the book. But of course, one of them is diet. You know, we are what we eat. What are we eating these days? A lot of preservatives, a lot of prepared meals that have a lot of dyes in them, and again, chemicals. And there is nothing, you know, no raw, no live food anymore. We're in a rush getting a frozen dinner and God knows what's in that, you know. So, and our animals are the same way. You know, there's so many treats out there that are, yeah, they're tasty. It's like the McDonald's. That's what I compare it to when I tell people, well, the treats that your pets are eating, of course, they taste delicious. They're full of salt and fat. So if you ask your pet which one he wants, of course, he's just like us. You know, he's going to go for that stuff. But so talking about diet and trying to eat simple ingredients that are more healthy for us. So of course that's where it starts for ourselves and our animals. And then again, paying attention to the synchronicities in life. I don't believe in coincidences, and it's amazing all the signs that we receive from, again, nature, from people. Sometimes we give each other messages, like something random just comes out of your mouth and I'm like, oh God, thank you. Like, this is an answer for me. I had a question, you know, for the last few weeks, I've been wondering about this or that. And so paying attention to all those signs and the timing of the illness, you know, your friends want you to go on a trip and you bring your animal or whatever the situation is, but you're forcing yourself into a situation that is just not right. Like, your heart is not into it, but you're going to sacrifice yourself. You're such a nice person. You're just going to go to please everybody else. And then you go there and you can't even make it because you get into a car accident. Or again, you're, you know, taking a walk with your pet and trauma, you know, something bad happens and you knew that that was not the right place for you or for your animal to be in. So listening to your heart, ultimately, that's where intuition is, and listening to the signs of guidance. Dreams are part of that puzzle also. If we're talking about, well, we could do surgery or not, and you have that awful gut feeling, and sometimes I'm the one having it, you know, it's a team effort. So when I meet with families, I'm open to all options, anything that shows up, you know, and I encourage, I empower families to talk to me. I open the door of, hey, let's talk about all the weird stuff that nobody wants to talk about, because there's so many answers there. So if someone tells me, oh, I had this dream, and so then we talk about the dream. We try to figure out how it applies. A lot of times, and myself included, dreams have helped me make the decision to euthanize some of my own animals and euthanize other people's animals when we're on the fence and we just need a sign from that animal. Or again, sometimes it's the rest of the animals in the household that's going to give us a sign because they're retreating from the sick one. Or or the opposite. They're very clinging onto the sick one. And so the dynamic is just, the signs are everywhere when you start looking for them. And that helps you choose between, okay, where are we going with this medical diagnosis and what's right for this one animal, personalizing our medical decision into the personality of our animal also, and the life mission of our animal. Have we reached an exit door? Is our animal telling
you? I think that's all very, very important. And I teach about intuition too, and I teach that the messages are everywhere. I mean, like you said, somebody could be talking to you, or you can see something on the television, or a song, or, you know, I get guidance everywhere, and I love how it, love how it all falls together. Now, many people don't pay attention to that, but I think to me it adds something beautiful and extra to our lives. It's precious. It's like, wow, I always say that the universe is responsive and listening, and when you're paying attention to those messages, those dreams or whatever, like you say, it's not just for ourselves, it's so important for our pets. Now, oftentimes they say that when an animal dies, an animal goes to, it seems like a different place from humans. What's your take on that? Is that true? Do you think, I mean,
I don't believe, but
what's your take on that?
Yeah, we will find out when we go, but from my experiences on this earth, I do believe we're all going to the same place, and I believe that we reincarnate, we come back here, and we choose the physical body that we need to fulfill our incarnation with our next life mission. And so we can go back and forth, you know, between an animal body, a human body, an animal body, whatever it is that we need. I've met a lot of families that have agreed with those, you know, with this belief of, because of their experiences again, and I've done some past life regression. I healed my horse allergies, which will be in book number 2. So you haven't read about that yet, but I've healed my horse allergies by tuning in and remembering. I was able to unlock some memories, cellular memories from my life as a Native American, and I saw the white men capturing our wild horses. And every time, like, I'm telling you, and I'm just so choked up because I was there, I lived it, you know, I remember. And so I had an emotional shock. And so in this life, you know, going to vet school, I'm helping the horses, and every time I go to the barn, I just start choking up, you know, my nose fills up and my eyes are crying. And I look like I'm sad. I look like I'm sad, but obviously I didn't realize that. I just thought, okay, well, I have allergies, but, you know, what is it caused by? So as soon as I unlocked that memory of this is what happened to me, no wonder, it went away. Like, it went away completely. But I've always, one of my childhood dreams was to have a horse. And so finally, the last 2 years, my horse showed up and he needed rescuing and I needed rescuing. So we healed each other, but I never had allergies to him. And I got a chance to relive. He was spoiled. He was retired. He got to be a horse like he was way back when. And I got to just be like I was as a Native American. We just got to share the same earth, the same beautiful pond that he would swim in, the same patch of grass, you know, 4 acres of just beautiful trees and just be, you know. And he went to heaven because he was an old guy, but he showed me, he told me in a dream that he was ready to go. So I had to help him. I had to honor his wishes. That was not easy, but at least we had a couple of years of healing together, and I feel so blessed that we were able to do this for one for each other.
You know, it's so powerful, those stories and that connection that we do have with animals. I believe in reincarnation too. And one of my cats, she was not eating. She was really ready to go. And I remember her saying, you know, intuitively, whatever, she was afraid. She said, my systems are shutting down. I've had a beautiful life, but I'm afraid, and she said, but I'm afraid to do this by myself. She actually asked for help to, you know, be euthanized or whatever, and it was very difficult and painful because you don't want to see an animal go, but she was kind of asking for it in a way. So what do you think about that?
It's beautiful, yes. Dying is not easy. Natural death is not easy. I try really hard to accomplish natural death. You know, there is a lot of things we can do, and I have seen it firsthand when, so my most, you know, the advice I give the most often at, during the end of life is to give your pet permission to let go. Because our animals become so bonded that they do want to sacrifice themselves. You know, they hang in there for us. They just want to be there for us because they know that, you know, that's their life mission and they don't want to give up on us. So giving them permission to not suffer and to say, okay, you're at the end of your life mission. Thank you. Thank you for helping me. But please just go. My chicken, I've had a lot of rescue chicken, but the last one standing, you know, became really spoiled and she lives in the house with us. And so her time came and I knew we were like just holding on by a few days, a few hours. And I did not want to have to euthanize her. I mean, I've euthanized so many animals, but birds are a little different. And I just felt like she could go. So I just sat with her. She was in her doggy bed. Like, she was the most spoiled chicken ever. And I just sat with her, had a heart-to-heart, and say, I am begging you, just please go be with your sisters now. Thank you for, you know, enriching our lives. I mean, this chicken did so much for us, but just please go. And I left her. I left her alone in her bed because it's hard to die when your family is there, too. I've noticed that. You know, a lot of people get upset because they're watching over their loved one, whether it's an animal or a human, and then they go to the bathroom for 2 minutes, and that's when their dad dies, you know, their loved ones die. Because, again, it's easier, I find, when somebody's dying, to just focus on their own self. So giving them some space and some time, but obviously, thank God we have medication, because sometimes it's just impossible to let go. And I've seen way too much suffering, animals or people, you know, suffering because they just can't let go. And if we can give them that extra loving push with medication, my God, it's a must. You know, it's an option that we need to have for people as well, because it's a blessing. It's keeping dignity. It's just shortening suffering, which we deserve to have.
You know, you said something, too, that's important, that you gave your animals permission to go. I think that that's also important for people. I know that for my mother, you know, I told her that it was okay for her to go. She was not herself. She was, you know, we're not going to go into all of that. But, and I remember at that time, she was a little bit distanced from my sister. And I said, you know, Judy will be all right. Everything will be taken care of. And, you know, you need to take care of you. And that I believe, you know, I don't have confirmation except through my own thinking and whatever, but I believe she needed that to be able to let go and to move on. And so I think that that's so important that we do that, that you mentioned that, that we do that not just for animals, but for people, because they want to be there for us. And sometimes it's not fair to hold on to an animal or a person who clearly is ready for the next step, the next whatever that is. So,
I agree
so thank
with you.
You.
I've been involved in, I've helped some people die. Okay, and I'll tell you those amazing stories, like a few pet owners. Their animals are sick, they're sick, you know, everybody is sick. Everybody's dying, but everybody is hanging in there for each other. So this one woman, you know, of course it's hard. So she, unfinished business, you know, people, we cannot die if there is some unfinished business, if we're worried about one another. So like you said, you know, making sure we tell our loved one, well, okay, this is all taken care of now, you can go, don't worry. So by euthanizing her animal, she was able to let go within, we're talking hours, you know. She just finally knew, okay, your animal is at peace now, go be with your animal. And then, you know, when I euthanize her animal, I ask her animal, God, please help mom now. You know, we're helping you. You're on the other side. Please help her let go of her physical body so she can be at peace as well. And yes, I think we're all going together to the same place. And often we come back with the same souls. I've had quite a few families who swear their dog is their dog that came back. And some animals will respond to the same name. You know, some people try to call their new dog a different name, and then they go back finally to the old name, and that's when their pet just say, oh, yeah, that's me. I'm back, you know. I have a client who adopted a puppy not long after her husband died, and she swears that her puppy was her husband who came back because this puppy would try to bite very select people that her husband did not like, and she swears that's her husband who came back. And, you know, it makes sense. It completely makes sense.
No, I totally get it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Tell me what you think. After my Selena passed, and probably about 6 months later, I'm walking along the street, and because I do my walks, and I call them power walks, and there's this beautiful little dog that's with an owner, you know, outside. And the dog and I, like, have this instant connection. The dog comes over and licks me and so excited. It's almost like, where have you been? How are you? I've missed you. You know, that was the feeling I had and she had. And the owner says to me, this is so strange, she says. She never does this to anybody. She's friendly with the neighbor across the street, but she doesn't react like that. And that's the response that this dog and I have had for probably over a year and a half now. It's kind of since Selena's been gone. What do you take? Because I feel that it's, you know, every once in a while when the owner isn't listening, I'll call her Selena or some of the pet names that I've called Selena in the past. But again, I have no verification, but I feel so strongly that that's Selena. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I've seen this situation happen for sure. When people have to give up an animal, you know, because I've seen this situation before. And so when people have to give up an animal because of, you know, their life has taken a turn and things are just not working, and often people feel guilty, or, you know, I try to support them in. That's exactly what one thing that I say to them. It's like, is there anybody around you that seems to have this amazing connection with your pet? Because maybe your pet had to go through, okay, we're going to do some learning with this one person for a life chapter, and then we're going to move on to this other person. And so I've seen what you're describing before, definitely. So there could be a time when, I'm glad you're involved in this dog's life, because the time could come where your cats are going to reunite for one reason or another, or at least you get to be present and have a different experience. And then Selena has a different experience now. And so she's growing, you know, animals grow. They come back to learn different life lessons, and just like us. So that's beautiful. And that's a very powerful connection that I'm grateful you can cherish and really have in your life.
Yeah, I think it's such a gift to be able to, you know, again, I don't say that to the owner because I think I would freak the owner out, but
yeah. But the time will come where she's, yeah, when she might
maybe,
say, oh, God, Joanne, can you have, yeah, you'll see.
Yeah. So
the time might come.
It may. So let's talk a little bit about your book. Why did you write the book?
Well, you know, funny things happen in life. The best things that happen are never planned. So I'm, you know, this was a few years ago, and I'm working every day. I'm just so busy, and I've learned so many things from doing the in-home euthanasia service. So the book came after my dog, Haley, needed help go to heaven. So I helped her pass at home. She guided me from the spirit world into starting this in-home euthanasia service. I did not know anything about those things. You know, I was a young veterinarian I was very afraid. This was not my idea, but I felt Haley's guidance. And that was the first time in my life that I felt like, okay, now I believe in the spirit world because I'm being harassed. Like, Haley cannot leave me alone. I felt like everywhere I would turn in life, people would call me. They would just start, you know, my help with, I was being asked to go help somebody's dog die at home, you know. And I was so, I finally gave in and said, okay, Haley, if you're truly there, please help me make this go well. So I got the licensing and the paperwork and the medication, and I just, you know, did the best I could. And so after a few years, it was just a blessing. I mean, my God, Haley made me a different person and a better person. So a few years into it, authors start calling me to go help their pets. So in the matter of a couple months, I helped 5 authors euthanize their pets at home. And I often don't know what people do for a living, but somehow, you know, these authors, they didn't know, but they're part of their journey with them, help me, give me some hints, you know, give me some answers, again, that they were not aware of. But they made me, they helped me grow into believing that I could write a book, you know, that it was not something that impossible. So they gave me some confidence and tools also, and I figured out how I could just write all my thoughts. And I felt like, you know, when you deal with death every day, you feel like life is really short, and I needed to put it out there before I die myself, you know. So I ended up writing the book, and it's been just beautiful to be able to share things, and then people relate, and a lot of people have experienced similar situations, but they're afraid, of course, of discussing it because society is very judgmental and they don't want to be laughed at or criticized. And so I'm grateful that the book can be an open door to say, hey, what have you experienced? Because this is happening, you know. So as I'm writing the next book, if you have amazing life experiences that you want to share with me, I'll give you my information, and please join me into writing the next book. You know, we can share a lot of amazing stories to inspire other people.
I have tons of stories with animals because I'm also called out to help animals in the street. It's just weird how I get to walk one way and or a different way based on intuition. And there I found frogs and birds and animals that needed healing, and it just, you know, I find it's a gift to do that. So I'll be in touch with you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful calling, and I'm grateful that you're embracing it, you know, because you can't deny it. You can't just look away. I mean, this is your place, and it's so powerful when you save lives and when you end lives, you know, when you end suffering, when animals need help to go and you can give them that gift of freedom, like, it makes your day, you know. That's it's just such a powerful calling that you and I are sharing, so that's great.
Not only do we share a name, right?
I'm telling you. But, you know, I realized this is the best name for me and for you, too. You know, not the more I know you. But in French, we pronounce it Joanne. One, like one, oneness. And to me, it's part of my life. This is my calling. There's no doubt. So I'm grateful. Yeah, I can share, you know, now you'll see your name very differently and how it suits you so much.
Well, thank you.
Because you are living as oneness.
I love it. So how do we help our listeners do the best that they can for their pets in terms of letting them feel good and feeding them healthfully? What are some of the suggestions that you have for pet owners so that they can help their pets live the best lives possible?
So balance is the key. So if you look at what you're giving to your pets and both of you, you know, your relationship and how much time do you have and do you take, and really making sure we focus on a balanced lifestyle, make sure we spend enough time outside. Our animals are always wanting to go out. And I'll talk about cats, you know, because, of course, we always worry that they're going to get hurt outside. But I can tell you that keeping them inside is not the right answer for everybody. A lot of cats will get sick and die from the lack of fulfillment, boredom, just not being in tune with their purpose. So being outside can be the answer to a lot of cats. And, you know, one of our cats would basically get had constipation issues until we found out that his balance means he needs to go outside. And he was a rescued kitten from the wild. And so really looking at each of your animals as a very unique being and picking, see if you can pick one or two or three words to describe your animal and what does your animal live for. So pick the words that are so important for your animal. It's a matter of life or death, you know. So when you identify those things that your animal lives for, well, you know that you need to feed your animal's soul with those things. So for one of my cats, it's to go outside. We have another cat that loves music. So my husband's a musician. There's a lot of music in our life. One of our dogs needs to play. He's the eternal puppy, and he needs to run, and he's a goofy dog. And so he's forcing us to be active also. So it's good. You know, we balance out each other. So they're following your pet on his journey because often our pets will force us out of our comfort zone, and we have a plan. Well, I'm going to get a horse, and I'm going to compete with him, or I'm going to get a dog, and I'm going to do this, or agility training, or my dog's going to be a therapy dog. Which is great if that's what your pet is here to do. And I've seen it both ways. I've seen therapy dogs who would get sick all the time because they just don't thrive around people. Their homebody,
right.
their life purpose is one-on-one with their owner. But the opposite is true, too. If you have a therapy dog and you don't have an outlet for his energy and he wants to go give love to everybody, and, you know, let's say you're walking your dog on a leash and your dog just wants to go say hi to everybody, but you have your set in your mind that no, we're taking a walk and this is all it's going to be, you know, and you're kind of depriving your pet from showing you what he's really all about. So exploring the personality, you know, what wants to come out of our animals and following them on that journey is amazing what it's going to do for us. I have a pig at my house, and he's a little vegan activist, and I didn't realize what was happening, but now I'm like, wow, this is the most awesome thing. Because so he showed up, you know, knocked at our gate and says, okay, I'm home, and threw us for a loop. I mean, my God, having a pig is not easy. I had to learn a lot. My husband and I had to really readjust. But now the pig walks on a leash. We take him to the beach. And, of course, people come to him like, oh, my God, it's a pig. He's walking on the beach. Look at him. He's awesome. He sits for treats. And then the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, oh, I can never eat bacon again, and I cannot eat ham again. And I'm like, wow, Wilbur, go, my friend. You know, people would not listen to me if I tell them to stop eating animals, but you've got it, you know, he's got it figured out, and I know that he's touching people's lives like nobody can. So
he's a teacher.
I encourage him on that.
He's a teacher.
Teacher. Yeah.
Right.
He's a teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a teacher.
Without saying anything, his presence and doing what he does
yeah.
with you, he's telling people, no, you can't eat, you can't do that. Look at me. I mean,
yeah.
Selena,
awesome.
Go ahead.
Pigs are just full of emotions. You know, pigs are full of life, and he gets to show people what pigs are really about. And how animals in the industry just don't get to be happy, you know. They have a very stressful life, and pigs are super smart. And I wish everybody would have a pig because they're really funny animals. But anyway, I'm glad I can share him. I try to share him with as many people as I can so they can see life from a very different way.
How old do they get to? I mean, like, what's their lifespan?
Up to 20 years. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, we're in for the long run. He was 4 months old when he showed up at my house, so he's 2 years old now.
That's amazing. Well, again, his presence is, like you said, not only helping you and your husband and your family, but it's also helping other people, which is beautiful. And that's probably why he showed up, Dr. Joanne, at your house, because he knows that you would help him do what he needs to do to communicate, hey, don't eat animals like me. That's great.
Yeah,
Selena used to love to sing. I would sing, and I wish that I recorded it because it would have been wonderful. I would sing a line, because I would sing songs to her, make up songs about her and whatever, and sing to her. I'd sing a line, and she would go to the length of that line. We would do that all the time. And she played hide and seek with me. It was amazing. She was like a one person, you know, she really wanted to just be loved and with one person. But it's amazing that the ability that animals have, if you allow them to, like, teach you in so many ways. And because people would say, no, she didn't play hide and seek. She did. I would go hide and say, Selena, come find me. She would run to where I am. She would stand outside, you know, the door or whatever, make a little cry, and then I'd say, you found me. Go hide. And she'd go running and hide, and I'd find her, and we'd do that for a little bit. And, you know, somebody said, Joanne, I think you need more of a life. But I think that was a beautiful thing, you know, to be able to.
They're the best friends.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
I know many cats who play hide and seek. Cats are full of life. I know we don't give them enough credit. They need fulfillment, and they're all very individual. So, God, Selena is one of a kind for sure.
Yeah, they all are. They're special. So, was Haley, the name Haley, was that a special name? How did you choose that name for your pet?
She was our 14-year-old Rottweiler mix, rescued girl. My husband had rescued her before I came along, and so we did not change her name. She came with that name from the previous family who had her. And she could smell the veterinarian. She wasn't too keen of my presence at first, but then she saw the potential in me, and I think she decided she could make me a better person. So she embraced my presence, and she was the best patient. She was such a good patient. I mean, she would let us do anything we needed to do to her, and she's taught me so much. She's definitely made me a better veterinarian and a better human, you know. So when we take time to listen to our animals and really bring the best out of them, I mean, not only they are healthier, you know, but they're happier. They are fulfilled, and then that's what we need to do for ourselves, to find what makes you go thrive, what makes our heart sing in life, and follow those crazy ideas, you know. It might not make sense to anybody, and we go just on a hunch, you know. We have this feeling that, what do you want to do with your life, you know? And just remember that creativity, when you were a child, everything is possible, you know. So I'm trying to really keep my inner child very much alive, to see the beauties and the opportunities in life, and then to jump on that. And when you reach a cliff and you're like, oh, God, I think, you know, we've reached the top of the mountain and now we have to jump off so we can get to another taller mountain and keep on growing, keep on learning. You know, of course, it's frightening, but I've learned to trust my imaginary wings because they've always showed up. And I see life as like a book. It has a lot of chapters. And when chapters end, we have to let them end and not resist because it's not good. You know, you're just going to stagnate if you don't dare changing life chapter, and if, you know, you lose your job, like, understanding why are things happening. I notice how the environment is very beneficial to our health, or can also be harmful. If you're so when we talk about reincarnation and what animals we've been in the past, I'm really fascinated about finding out more, like, what animals we've been, and I see a lot of similarities between who we've been, like what animal we've been before, in our personality in this current life. And also physically, I realize how people look like some animals that they love or that they're passionate about or that they've been in a past life. They have so many connections. So if you were a crab before or an orca, like an ocean animal, living in the desert might not be good for you. You know, it might be good for a certain life chapter, but life might bring you to a point where you need to make a move because your energy is rising and you need to keep it up, you know. So now that I used to live in the desert for 11 years, and now we're in Florida, and the timing of everything was just, it was difficult to let go of that chapter. But my God, all the signs were there, you know, to make us believe that we were right, making the right move. And now that I'm by the beach, it's feeding me and my husband other things that we needed. So that's important to realize. I've seen some people who had moved to the desert and their pets would always get sick. It was one thing after another. You know, there's a couple of families that I remember, and I had to have a conversation with them. I'm like, are you sure you're thriving here? Are you sure this is your place? And finally, you know, both families went back to different parts of the country because their pets were just getting always sick, and it was random and nothing was working for them. You know, their job, everything was just so difficult. So energy needs to flow for you and your pets. And so don't hesitate, like be daring to see where that takes you and follow that path, even if you don't exactly know where we're going. The best things happen when they're not planned. So,
you know, I love it, and it's so very true. And Dr. Joanne, I love what you're doing. We're out of time. So tell our listeners how they can get a hold of your book, Animal Teachings from Haley's Angels Methods, and how they can reach you.
The book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the big online stores, but you can also get it through my website, and all my links for social medias are on my website. It's haleysangels.com, www.haleysangels.com.
Wonderful. Well, you are a blessing not only to your animals, but to all of the people and the animals that you serve. Thank you so much for what you do, and have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Dr. Joanne. So think about what Dr. Joanne said, living in rhythm, living in balance with you, with nature, with your animals, and really tuning in, really listening to what's going on with them and also with yourself is so important. And you can understand and figure out what's going on. And like Dr. Joanne said, and also I said, those messages are there for you to receive. So pay attention to them and really know that your pets are gifts, and treat them with the love and respect that you would like to be treated with as well. So thanks so much for joining us. And if you want to find out more about me, I'll give you the short version. Go to docwhite.org, and find out more about upcoming shows and blogs and other things. And remember to take charge of your life, even with a little step, and do something today that empowers yourself. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a beautiful day wherever you are.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with host and author Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to enrich you and grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again, and visit docwhite.org for more information and find out how Dr. Joanne can benefit you. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.